Welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer, and this broadcast is sponsored by Sped Homeschool. And we are so glad that you have joined us. If you're joining us live on our Facebook, that's exciting because you can interact with us. But we also appreciate those of you who are watching the recorded version of this broadcast, as well as those of you who are watching on our YouTube channel or listening to this broadcast on our podcast. My special guest this evening is Lisa Nearing, and she is with True North Homeschool Academy, and we are going to be talking about keeping your mission and vision in homeschooling, and just what that means for families who have children, especially that are struggling learners, special needs, disabilities, because that's a little more difficult when we've got all those things in the mix and trying to figure out if we can really keep a mission or vision, or if it's all just going to go downhill. And I think we're going to provide some encouragement in that direction tonight.
Yeah, so. I hope so.
So Lisa, thank you for joining us. And I would just love for our audience to get to know you first. So if you could just do an introduction for us and let us know a little bit about you and your family, your homeschooling background, that would be awesome.
Well, thanks. Well, thanks for having me, Peggy. It's really a pleasure to be here. And just about my family, we have homeschooled since 1991. So I think that makes this our 27th year of homeschooling. Wow. And we have five kids. Well, most of them are adults at this point, but we have ages 15 to 31. And we've graduated four, and I have my baby who is 15 still at home, and it's been a sweet run, and it's gone fast. So everybody who says, hold on to your littles, they're not kidding, because pretty soon they're all out of the house.
My youngest is 14. So
it's
graduated too. I just got one left also. And yeah, it is.
Very bittersweet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we've read a lot of books and traveled a lot and gone all over the country, had some kids go out of the country, and it's been a lot of fun. I've worked in the homeschooling community in various capacities. I've blogged for years, and the last several years I've worked for a large educational company, working with homeschoolers all over the world, helping them write transcripts. I've worked with kids who are profoundly disabled and profoundly gifted, helping them earn high school credits and move on to the next thing. And all kids present challenges. So that's what I just want to encourage parents, no matter what your kids' abilities or disabilities, every child is a package of challenges. They're all so different and unique. The last year I acquired an online school that used to be called Homeschool Works for You, and it's been online for about 10 years. We've renamed it True North Homeschool Academy and rebranded it, added more classes, more programs. We offer testing, live online classes, self-paced classes, academic advising, a struggling learners academic advising program. We've expanded our struggling learners program, and under Kimberly Vogel, who might be familiar to some SPED readers and listeners, who's amazing, a good friend of ours. She is NILD certified, and she oversees our struggling learners program. So we have this amazing resource with live online classes for kids who have special needs or struggling areas, you know, from kindergarten through 12th grade. And a lot of our kids are getting into high school years, and they still might need rudimentary phonics or math, and we provide that along with ASL, because as most of us know, kids with disabilities might have different processing abilities as well, and ASL is a good way to bridge those gaps. Right. So it's really exciting to be still in a field that I love and I'm passionate about, which is homeschooling and alternative education, and being able to offer an amazing set of resources to parents, no matter what their kids' abilities or disabilities are.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And I know if you want to see more about your organization, I do have your website here. Got to figure out how to pull it up on. There we go. So it's just True North Homeschool Academy.
Yep. .com. Yep. And there is a little co-op in Florida called True North Academy. So you have to put the homeschool in there.
Yeah.
We're not in Florida.
If you look under your catalog, that's where you can find the different things for the struggling learners. Is that
right? You can look under catalog. There's a whole section there that will take you to course descriptions, or you can go to enroll and there's a whole section just there for struggling learners and special needs as well. Mm-hmm. And it will give you in-depth course descriptions for everything as well, including who's teaching what when. So, and we are going to be offering in the spring, we're going to be offering standalone executive functioning classes. We're going to offer one for students, teaching them executive functioning, just how to order and manage their thoughts. And we're going to be offering one for parents to teach them how to teach their kids these skills. And so it's not limited to special needs or struggling learners. I mean, some, you know, ADD kids, some of us with, I mean, processing disorders, those executive functioning things can be helpful to anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I'm excited. Take the class.
Exactly.
Right.
So that would be the majority of parents.
I know, all of us. If you bring a group, I'll give you a great discount.
That's good to know. Yeah. So we had a question last week because Amy Vickery, one of your teachers and struggling learner specialist, as well as one of the Sped Homeschool team members, was on, and someone asked us if you were accredited or not. And she said that you would be able to answer that question much better than she could. So I'm going to leave that up to you to answer that.
We are not accredited. And I'm not sure if we will get accredited or not, because I've done a lot of research in this and I know parents seem to care. But from what I can tell, it's basically a marketing tool. And unless you're in a state that requires you have an accredited high school classes and you're going to transfer back into high school, it doesn't matter. So like I live in a state where they don't accept high school homeschool classes. So if you do your freshman year homeschooled and then want to transfer to a public school for sophomore year, they won't take those ninth grade classes and you have to start again. Not all states are like that. And so it's a lot of money out, which of course we would have to pass on to our students and families. And really what it does is it's just a stamp of approval. So I'm not really 100% sure that we won't, but at this point we haven't done that yet. And I'm not sure that we will, because a lot of the accreditation, there's a large accrediting board for online schools and they're buying up the smaller accrediting boards. And so it's becoming more of a monopoly. And with that means government intervention. And so I'm really torn about that, because I understand parents want that sense of security accreditation might bring, but I'm not convinced it's really security. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, having been a consultant for over a decade, I mean, the only way that I could see an accreditation was ever helpful to a parent when I was working with them was if they wanted to put their child back into a high school, the high school to give their child a diploma based on partial credits of what they taught in their homeschool. Otherwise, it really wasn't helpful at all. And, and that's only in some states. Other states don't even care.
They don't even care. Yeah. So I'm just concerned, especially I was really thinking about going with one smaller accrediting board, but it got bought up last year. And now I'm even less convinced that we really need it. Because government intervention, that's probably a whole different podcast series.
Yes.
I don't know that we want to go there.
I just got back from the HSLDA Leadership Conference this last week. And yeah, the talk about what strings you attach to yourself by doing those things can get really messy.
Right. Yeah. They can. Yeah. So that's my answer. No, we're not.
Yes.
No, we're not.
But that's why.
Right. And the thing is with accreditation, parents are concerned that colleges and universities won't take a non-accredited degree. Colleges and universities don't care. The baby boom is over. They need your kids' warm body and they need your money. That's really the bottom line. So they're not concerned with that. What they're concerned with and what most parents should be asking is not, can my kid get in? Because almost all kids can get in. It's how will you pay for it? And that should be really more of our concern. Because if you have a kid who can breathe and read on some level, I will help you get into a college. I mean, that's a no-brainer at this point.
Yes. Yeah, you do. Yeah. And not taking the ACT or the SAT and all that. My son got into college and now even a good university.
Yeah.
Because he went to community college ahead of time, took their entrance exam, which was super easy for him. And that was it.
There's lots of ways.
There's many different ways. And don't think that this, you know, four-year plan of, getting college and what's in your child's transcript.
Right.
It really matters.
Right. You're right. And we do provide a transcript service. And I love doing that because most homeschoolers forget to credit their life. And most homeschoolers have very amazing lives that are full of crazy credits that they haven't even considered. And I love talking to homeschool families and just helping them brainstorm what they have done that's so unique. They don't even think about it, you know. Yeah. But really, most colleges don't even really care about transcripts either. I mean, honestly.
The biggest thing they had for a question with my son, because he had went to welding school in between high school and college, was, how many years has it been since he took this science class? And then even if it was a longer period of time than they required, they had a supplementary one he could take. You have to pay for it and you don't get credit for it, but they don't care. They're going to charge you for the extra class and then send you on your way.
Exactly. Right.
So they have so many remedial classes that'll get fill in those things if they're not on the transcript.
Exactly.
And get around to them.
But
I want to get onto our topic.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is awesome. Vision and mission. And especially if that block of a diagnosis sits there in front of us, how do we get beyond that and say, what is my vision and mission for helping my child succeed?
Mm-hmm. Well, I work with Erin Persinger, who many of you might know or might not in the homeschool world. She's a new friend of mine, and she's helping us with marketing, and phenomenal gal. And she just recently, her daughter was diagnosed with dyslexia. Mm-hmm. And so I talked with her this morning because that diagnosis was so recent. And I wanted to get a sense from her, what does it feel like? Mm-hmm. Because in my mind, I think I probably should have gotten two kids diagnosed out of my five, and I never did, because they're doubly gifted. And those 2E kids are confusing because they can make it by. Yes. Uh-huh. While Erin and I were talking, she was saying, I asked her, did you have to go through this like grieving period? And I want to just say to parents, don't rush it. If you get a diagnosis, it's probably going to be disheartening and discouraging, and it's appropriate. I mean, I'm a mental health person. Yeah. I come from a mental health background. I'm married to a psychologist. I have a marriage and family therapy degree. Don't rush your emotions. Feel your emotions, because if you don't, they're going to come out later. And we all have hopes and dreams and visions for our kids. That's appropriate. That's a God-given thing. He put that in us for a reason. And regardless of if it's a physical diagnosis or a learning disability or a mental health diagnosis, we have to grieve what we'd hoped for. That's appropriate, and we should. And we need to do that with our spouses too. So men and women grieve differently. And we need to make sure that we're still communicating with our husbands or our spouses, because sometimes it's the husband who has the main, focus of this kind of thing. But usually in my experience, it's outsourced to the mom. That's what we do. Not outsourced, insourced.
Exactly.
It's usually our role in the family, But I think we need to keep in communication with our spouses, because these are our kids together. It's not my kid and my diagnosis or his kid and his. It's our kid and our family. And those diagnoses can sometimes change your family dynamics, because if your kid is certain, whatever it is, they might need more of this or less of that. So I just want to say, don't feel bad about feeling bad. You probably will. And then also, you might have some guilt associated with it. I think parent guilt is pretty all the time.
I mean, we're focusing a lot of our blogs this coming month on guilt.
Because I'm going to have to read them. There's always something you missed, or you worked too much, or you did that too little. I mean, but when you have a diagnosis that's unique to your life, or you haven't experienced it in your family before, you might feel like you did something wrong. Mm-hmm. But I do, Aaron did mention this morning, that if your kids are in public school, they're probably not going to get diagnosed till fifth or sixth grade at the earliest.
That is
because
very true.
The classrooms are big and it's easy to miss kids. If you have them home with you, you can pick up stuff like the short-term memory isn't kicking in, or they don't remember the A from the P, or those little things, those quirky things moms see. And so, you know, it's okay to feel guilt, but don't camp there and don't camp in the grief. I mean, cry. It's okay to cry and find somebody who you can cry with. Because here's the other thing. We were just sharing kind of like disappointment stories, and we had a house fire almost 10 years ago. And within a couple days, my sister died. And that same year, my dad died. Oh. It was a hard, hard year. And so many people were like, well, at least your sister didn't suffer. Well, at least no one died in the fire. So I'm happy. but I mean, I think all of us cried that whole year. Like we'd be going to get food and we would just burst out crying in the line. It was just so much emotion all at once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you know somebody who has a diagnosis, or even if your kid got one, or you got one, maybe, I know a lot of my friends have gotten adult ADD diagnoses, and it has finally made sense about stuff. Don't try to gloss it over. Don't try to just make yourself feel better about it, because you're going to go through a time period of feeling bad. And that's okay. Some things we should feel bad about. Giving up hopes and dreams. It's okay to feel bad about that disappointment. You know, it's just okay. But the other thing too, you know, and Aaron mentioned this, and I was thinking about this too. We didn't want people to feel sorry for us when bad things happen. We don't want people to have a pity party for us, but, we don't want them to minimize it. So, you know, the whole thing of like, at least nobody died in the fire. I thought that was a really weird thing to say. Like, my brain can't go there. Like, I mean, and when you have a diagnosis of dyslexia or autism, you know, at least it's not like they're not crippled. I mean, it's such a bizarre thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I did ask her, what is the best thing someone could say to you? And she said, hey, take a small step. Like it's so easy, you know, like you don't have to solve this and you don't have to think about everything all at once. Just what do you need to do next? And that was very similar to how we dealt with the fire. We couldn't think about like replacing everything we owned and replacing the house and all the things. We had to go, what do we need to do today? We need to get up and take a shower and we need to feed our kids. So if you have a diagnosis like this, just take the small steps first. And how does that relate to vision, which is so big picture and long term?
Right.
Well, you have to recalibrate. You have to recalibrate. And some of us are better than that. Than others. And some of us are better during different seasons. And sometimes our spouse is better than we are. But you have to regroup. You have to find some space and time to sit down. And if you are a praying person or a faith-based person, get alone with God. Because God didn't make a mistake in giving you this child or this diagnosis. And the diagnosis can be a blessing. What's the first thing that God told his Adam to do? Name the animals. And naming is very powerful, and it takes away a lot of heartache in some ways, which sounds silly, because how is naming autism helpful? Well, it takes away all the weirdness. It defines it, and it corners it, and doesn't make it this broad, horrible thing. It gives you something to work with. So, I mean, do I want kids to be diagnosed with autism? No. I want all kids to be healthy and happy and well and fed and loved.
Well, that was a huge thing in my life. When my son was diagnosed with high functioning Asperger's, you know, my parents looked at me and said, "That's you." Oh yeah, that explains everything.
Was it a relief to hear that, or was it hurtful?
It was a huge relief for me, because I had beat myself up for so long about, why can't I talk to people? Why can't I look them in the eyes? Why do I always feel anxious? And so the answers to a lot of those whys started to come out. My depression had been so bad. I always contemplated suicide every day.
Oh.
And so it was like this answer that I had been praying for years to understand. You know, a lot of it was related to my gut issues, which we took care of afterwards. And then all of that just, it was like I drove out of a fog. I talked about that. But having this conversation, you and I, even after I got that diagnosis, would not have happened if I wouldn't have known why.
Yeah.
And so you look at, you know, I look at my past and I say, you know, why did I suffer through that? And, but now I can, I was telling somebody this last weekend at the HSLDA conference was, I know what your children feel like.
Ask
me, I can tell you, mm-hmm. I know exactly where they're at. I know why they do what they do mm-hmm. because I've been there.
Yeah. And you can offer compassion and comfort in a way that I might not be able to. Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, I remember years ago on a Bible study, our pastor's wife, who's one of the best Bible teachers I've ever encountered in life, said, when you're in a hardcore situation, find somebody who's been there and has gone through what you've gone through and find out how to make it work. And that's what happened after we had the fire. Somebody emailed me out of the middle of nowhere and said, we had a fire. Give yourself 5 years because you're going to feel like, why don't I have it together? And she said, it takes 5 years to regroup because you've had this bizarre, devastating thing. And it's not just stuff. It's memory. Like my mom was gone. So we had none of her stuff anymore. It's memories and all this stuff. Same thing with the diagnosis. Don't rush it. Give yourself time to regroup and name what it is. Because if it's high functioning Asperger's, it's different than dyslexia. And so you need to find different resources. Mm-hmm. And the other thing you need to do is you need to find a tribe. You need to find a group of people to walk with you in this because it's complicated. And raising kids is complicated anyway. And we live in a world that is becoming increasingly more complicated and less familiar and less relational. And so we need to find a tribe of people who can relate to us and we can relate to them and just go, is this normal? Like, should I be crying every day for the next year? Yeah, probably. Exactly. It's okay. Yeah, you know,
we just had a post on our support group on Facebook today, and one mom was just devastated. And I think a couple hours in, enough people had given her, you know, the information that we're there too, you know, and it just kind of validated her. And she's like, thank you so much. You know, you could just kind of see as more and more people were adding information in there. And, you know, it didn't have to be resources. It was just, we are where you're at. And
right.
I get it.
Yeah.
And
just not feeling alone. It just makes such a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. And I'm hoping that by this time next week, we can make an announcement about local groups. We're actually looking at the possibility of creating a network of local groups all over the country for families that have children that they homeschool with special needs.
Well, Kimberly and I were talking about that actually today, this afternoon, about maybe doing something like that on Zoom through True North Homeschool Academy. So, I live in a state that's very not populated. And so sometimes it's hard to find the resources you need. But the other thing I just want to say to parents, as far as getting a vision, don't accept defeat. If you have a diagnosis that is difficult and hard, just don't give up. Don't give up on your kid. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the hard stuff in front of you because you're going to grow from that challenge and your kid will too. And, you know, Malcolm Gladwell has written a book called Outliers, I think. And he talks in that book. Well, it might not be that one. It might be, he's got like three or four, but in one of his books, he talks about people who have been diagnosed with ADD, and because they think differently, they have gone on to do crazy, amazing, miraculous things because their brain is so different. And I want parents who are listening, don't accept defeat because your kid thinks differently. That is a blessing and a curse. We all think differently.
It is. But what you know, I've said this many times, but we make our children try to be the same through schooling. And then when they graduate and they go out into the workforce, we want them to be different because nobody wants the same product. They want unique individuals that can contribute to their businesses, you know, and all these other ways that that corporations are now working, or even small businesses, it has to be unique and different. It's changing all the time. And if we've created these cookie cutter children, they're not going to fit in.
Right.
It's the unique kids that are going to excel.
Yeah. So I'm actually teaching psychology to an amazing group of young adults this semester. It's been a blast. And this week we are on senses and perception. And one of the assignments for the kids to do is watch the Temple Grandin story. And I don't know if you're familiar with that movie. Mm-hmm. I love that movie because it shows she's this quirky, odd, different thinking person. She has revolutionized the beef industry. Okay. Yeah. I mean, she's had some unique opportunities, but she figured out how to make her uniqueness and her quirkiness work in a way that has benefited, not just allowed her to live this amazing life, but benefited an entire industry. Yeah. So don't give up. Don't give up. And if you feel like giving up and you feel discouraged, find somebody who can lift you up. Make a post on Facebook. You know what I mean? We all have friends from all over the world now because of Facebook. Yes. Mm-hmm. Utilize that resource.
And there's always somebody further down the road than you that is going to give you a better perspective, because you always think that the place that you are right now is going to last forever. And it's not.
Right.
But I feel that way.
Yeah. It's just a season. Mm-hmm. So when you've resourced up, when you found the books and the tribe and the movies and the prayer and the people, when you figured out that you can move forward after you've grieved and gotten rid of this, then start really thinking about your vision again. Because your vision, what you're doing in all of that is you're getting rid of the old vision. The old vision of having the perfect kid who's the 4.0 and the really cute athlete and all the things. I know some people who are like that. And you know, they're unique people. But most of us are pretty normal people, and we have to give up certain things for other things. We don't get all of it at once, you know, but once you've given up what you'd hoped for, then really start thinking about, now what is God calling me to? Because when we give up something, we usually get something else. And it's just really mostly our perceptions that we're giving up. It's not what's in front of us we're giving up. You know,
right. Yeah, no, we give up that typical school that maybe wasn't good for our child in the first place. Right. And now, you know, looking back, this is our 17th year of homeschooling. Hallelujah. Wow. We didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And, you know, the neat thing is you can create so much at home. I mean, there are so many resources at home that, and, you know, I know a lot of moms now who are experts in special needs and special ed because they've had a diagnosis, and they're doing amazing work in their communities because they're able, now their kids are graduated and they have time to come alongside younger moms and really work with them. Mm-hmm. So as far as creating a vision, I always say to people, vision is the big picture. It's the long view. What skills and content do you want your kids to know before they leave your home as young adults and launch out into the world? And maybe your kid won't launch out into the world. I mean, that is a possibility for some people. I worked with a young man for 3 years. He was a doubly gifted autistic young man, and I just loved him. He played the cello. He was very gifted in math, but he could not write a sentence. And so the other thing I want to really touch on is how to get through high school. So all the way through high school, he did advanced math, and he did third grade English. Mm-hmm. So for English 1, he did third grade English. For English 2, he did third grade English, etc. And that's totally acceptable. So for high school, you don't have to go, my kid can't get through comp. He can't read Mark Twain. Your kid will live without reading Mark Twain. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
He does an audiobook if he really wants to.
Oh, I know. Yeah, right. Right. There's other things. So modify, because that's what they would do in the public school system, or they wouldn't modify and your kid would be miserable.
And they call it the same class, like you said, English 1 and English 2, no matter what content you gave them on their transcript, it's going to look like English 1 and English 2, and you give them the grade that they got.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really, in most states, they don't care so much when your kid graduates. In some high reg states like Pennsylvania and Florida, they have a limit, but it's 21. So if you feel like your child's not going to graduate at 18, that is okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Yes. Just take the time you need, the time your child needs, mm-hmm. and don't forget to have fun. And don't forget to do the things that are intriguing and interesting, because there's a lot of cool things in the world that don't have to be scholastic bookwork that can count for credit. And if you run out of ideas, get on our homeschool, our Help Homeschooling High School page and ask, because mm-hmm. we have tons of ideas there. But mm-hmm. yeah, just don't give up. I mean, and as far as high school goes, you can just use the classes that you need for your student to get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. And yeah, why we unschooled our middle child because his learning issues and the things on his transcript are pretty crazy. But
what's the craziest thing on his transcript, though?
Movie recoloring. So he actually recolored a movie.
Wow. I had a friend, one of the first people I ever knew who homeschooled, Carolyn Forte. She owns Excellence in Education in California, mm-hmm. Monrovia, California. She's mm-hmm. still working with people. I love her. And I interviewed her about mm-hmm. why she was homeschooling. And she was a public school teacher and the kind everybody wants. I mean, mm-hmm. she's vivacious and fun and cool. And her second daughter was profoundly learning disabled, and she mm-hmm. could not learn to read, and she couldn't learn to write. She might still not be mm-hmm. able to read. And so she pulled both her kids out of school, out of public school, and homeschooled them. Mm-hmm. And her daughter, it was kind of the LA area. So there was a lot of weird resources. Mm-hmm. And her daughter did circus horseback riding. So she could do like double backflips on a moving horse, which how many people in the universe can do that? You know what I mean? Like five, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But she found crazy ways to help her daughter excel. And mm-hmm. that's what mm-hmm. we all need to be doing as parents, really.
Exactly.
Has God gifted that student, that child mm-hmm. with, and how can we resource them? That's what we are as parents, really, in my mind, more than anything, is resourcers.
Right. So, because when they graduate, if they just have a whole bunch of really nice looking classes and credits, that's not going to do them a world of good mm-hmm. when they leave. If they're not equipped with what they need that they've been gifted to do, then mm-hmm. you failed as a parent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I take that very seriously.
I do too. Yeah. Yeah. But I would just say, as far as vision goes, vision is the long term. It's mm-hmm. it's the long view. And then mission is, how do you make those things happen? So mm-hmm. a lot of us get stuck on the mission because most of us grew up in the public school. Now we're coming into a generation of homeschoolers who have been homeschooled themselves.
That is exciting.
Which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But the homeschool market is exploded, and it's mm-hmm. a $1 billion market with amazing resources. And if you don't find it yet, make it yourself and sell it to the rest of us, you know?
Right, exactly.
someone's looking for it if you are.
Well, just let us know about it so we can tell people about it.
I know, right, exactly.
That's what we want to do, so yeah.
Exactly. And then don't forget to set goals mm-hmm. and set goals for yourself and your kids, no matter how abled or disabled they are, because mm-hmm. most children really like clear parameters, and they want to know if they've reached something mm-hmm. and they want to know what it takes to reach there. So exactly. if we don't give them those small things to reach for, a lot of times we're just frustrating our kids without even realizing it. Mm-hmm. So learn to set good goals for your kids, smart goals. You can Google it.
We've got articles on our website, writing goals and how to write an IEP and how to use rubrics. If you have no idea what a rubric is, just search on the Sped Homeschool website. But my daughter loves those because she's like, well, what do I have to include in this paper? Well, look at the rubrics. If you can check off all these things on there, then you got everything you need in your paper.
Right. And a lot of times as parents, we need that too. Like, did we finish that class? I'm not sure. Okay, we did the rubric. We're done. We're good.
Exactly. And what grade do I give you? Because, you know, there's some things that you grade that are, you know, if it was just left up to me and, you know, my whims, you get all A's. But let's just, if you have a parameters that you're grading by and giving a percentage, then that makes it a lot easier too.
Yeah. I want to say, just as far as grading with special needs. So this same young man that was doubly gifted and just couldn't write a sentence. Mm-hmm. His mom always struggled with grading him because his family was very high performing. His second sister was profoundly gifted and in this crazy like national scholarship program for gifted kids. Mm-hmm. And so the mom really had a hard time knowing how to grade her son. And she'd always send me yeah. what she graded, and I would always regrade it because she was mm-hmm. always giving him C's and D's mm-hmm. because she was grading on what she thought it should be. And so right, if you have a hard time, standard. Yeah, mm-hmm. if you have a hard time grading your kids, find a trusted friend or even hire somebody to grade at what they're doing. For what mm-hmm. he was doing in third grade, he was doing very well, and I would give him an A. He mm-hmm. couldn't do past third grade, so why grade him past that?
Right.
And yes. he actually made the honor roll 1 year, and mm-hmm. he and his mom both cried. Because they never thought that they would ever see any kind of awards or accolades like that. It didn't mm-hmm. mean any great thing in the long run. He's going to live at home the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. He'll if he goes to college, it will be at home. He'll mm-hmm. probably never have a full-time job outside of his home. So does the honor roll mean that much? Well, actually it did. It really did.
It helps their self-esteem. They, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but the mom never would have gotten there. She needed somebody external to go, hey, he wrote this whole sentence 2 years mm-hmm. ago. He couldn't make a whole sentence. He has a subject. He has a verb. He had a direct mm-hmm. object mm-hmm. and an ending. He had an end mark. It was so wonderful. Mm-hmm. But she couldn't get outside of that, you know, and we often lose perspective with our own families. Mm-hmm. So like I said before, and Peggy said, obviously find people who will come alongside you and help you get that perspective. Cause we all need somebody to reality check us at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's our vision that's off or just our thinking, you know, mm-hmm. even, like you said, running classes, even ideas by people, cause mm-hmm. I think we compartmentalize and want to make everything, even though we in our mind, we say this is not right. We want to make it look like a public school.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, that is the mentality. That's where a lot of us have come from. And mm-hmm. even if we maybe were homeschooled, I've interviewed someone a couple of weeks ago who said, I mean, she homeschooled like school. And so what perspective do her kids have, you know, from those first few years before she changed her ways?
Yes.
Well, that homeschool is like school.
Yeah.
And so it's very difficult because that's the mindset of the culture we live in, mm-hmm. that it just needs to be done this way. But, you know, if you look back in history, we haven't done this for very long.
We haven't. And I will say homeschooling and public schooling is changing and it's going to continue mm-hmm. to change. Mm-hmm. I think the title of the book is called Global Schooling. I think mm-hmm. I'll have to look it up and send you the title, Peggy. Mm-hmm. And this family lives in California and their kids go to public school for a couple classes and they take mm-hmm. dual enrollment classes at the community college and they mm-hmm. unschool in public and homeschool for a couple classes mm-hmm. and they outsource this crazy other stuff. And so they're doing a whole bunch of different things all mm-hmm. at once. And I think school is going to continue to become unbundled. Mm-hmm. And when we think of school as this bundle, we're really mm-hmm. limiting ourselves and our kids. So we have to unbundle for ourselves, but that is the way education is going. Mm-hmm. College is going that way. Mm-hmm. And I even think high school will go that way. Public school is going to go that way too, because you know, the first couple of years of college
high school in Minnesota, my kids took classes at, I mean, it depends on your state laws. So mm-hmm. you know, definitely look at if your state laws have reciprocity between
And Minnesota is crazy. We know kids graduating with bachelor's degrees the day before they graduate from their high school homeschool program. So different states offer crazy different things. And we're right next door and we don't offer much. So
are you Wisconsin?
South Dakota, the other South way. Dakota.
Yeah, I've spoken at those conferences too.
Yeah. So you know.
Laws,
Yeah.
So there was, you were going to talk about also, you said the 7 habits of highly effective families.
You know, I looked this up. I love Stephen Covey's stuff and he's been a great, guide for me in life. But the 7 habits that he talks about is be proactive. And I think if you get a diagnosis, you have to do something every day to figure out what that means for your family, for you, for your kiddo. You've got to be proactive. So even as you're maybe it feels like a gut punch, and it probably does. Mm-hmm. You got to just be the adult and be proactive, and then begin with the end in mind. And I know I said just to do one little thing, but don't, like you said, Peggy, today isn't forever. Today is just for today. And, you know, if you get that diagnosis of dyslexia, you might be scared, really scared. Your kid will never be able to read ingredients at the grocery store or write a check or read a book.
And even though that is a possibility, there's still workarounds. My brother has extreme dyslexia. I mean, he wears a medical ID bracelet so he knows how to spell his name.
Okay. Yes.
He got a college degree because his wife read all of his stuff to him, and he's a manager at a major corporation.
Wow.
So,
it's not forever.
It's not forever, and it doesn't mean that there isn't something out there that will make your child very successful.
Right.
I mean, God's not going to not gonna let you down.
So begin with the end in mind, but then, just like you said, put first things first. What do you need to do today? What do you need to do today? Maybe you just need to sit with your kid on the ground and read a little story. It doesn't have to be figuring out everything. It just means this one thing today. And also think win-win. Think win-win. Don't think done. Don't think it's over. Don't think the game is finished. Think, I've got this kid. I've got resources. It's going to be a win for them. It's going to be a win for the world. It's going to be a win for our family. It's going to be a win-win.
Yeah.
And you've got to be the cheerleader for your kid. You've got to be their advocate, because it's going to be hard in the world. If you have a differently abled child, they need somebody in their court, and it's probably going to be you.
I talk about it as also your child makes you their kind of opponent. It's just this natural inclination your child has to, and I read a book at one point, it talked about a boxing ring. And because you are a safe person, your child will put up their fists and start punching at you because you are that safe person in their life. Yet your job as the parent is to remove yourself from the ring and say, no, I'm your coach, and turn your child around and describe their opponent,
you
know, whether it's their inability to keep things organized, or, you know, all these other things that relate with their issues, and then fight them together.
Right.
Instructing and them learning the skills on how to battle it correctly.
Yeah. I love that. And also, you know, you reminded me of something. Don't forget to take time to make sure you're okay. And sometimes if we're advocating all the time and we're training our kid all the time and we're coaching and we're cleaning and we're cooking and we're doing all the mom things too, you got to get away sometimes. And, you know, it doesn't have to be like to Aruba, though that's nice.
Yes, it would be.
It could just be going to a bookstore or going to coffee or going to your mom's house or a friend's house. Try to work it out with your spouse and your family so that you're not always on, because that if you're worn down, you're not going to be a good advocate, and you're not going to think win-win, because if you get tired out, boy, it's hard to stay positive in those kind of circumstances.
It really is.
And you know, this is like the fifth habit: seek first to understand, and then to get understood yourself. But I think with this, you know, to understand the diagnosis, and there's a lot of great resources now. Like even 20 years ago, there wasn't, you never really heard of autism, let alone learning disabilities.
I think there were two books out when my son was diagnosed, and I had no idea what Asperger's was, you know, autism, any, I mean, traditional autism. Yes. I worked at special needs camps. My parents had adopted, I have 10 adopted siblings with special needs, and I had never heard of, you know, the rocking autism, you know, that I knew about because I'd worked with young adults like that, but high functioning autism, no. And so that was totally, brand new.
Yeah.
And that was, 17, 18 years ago. So things have changed dramatically.
There have, and there's really great conferences too. I mean, you probably know way more about that than I do, but there's online stuff now too, in a way that there wasn't even 5 years ago. So really seek to understand. The more you understand about this, the more it will help you cope with it. and also synergize. So what is synergize? Synergy is when you have one and then you take another one and you don't just get two at the end of it, you get five or six. And synergy is like getting on the SPED site and really understanding the resources available and really gleaning from other people. And then all of a sudden you're not alone. You have more than just yourself and your spouse. You have this community and tribe. You can reach out to people on Peggy's Facebook page and say, okay, I'm devastated. What do I do? And everybody else can come around and go, it's okay. You'll live, you'll get through it. So synergy is not getting stuck and alone. So don't stay alone. Find resources. SPED is the best place to start. You know, I did ask Kimberly, what are your best resources? And she said, well, SPED. So start with SPED. Okay.
Well, all her resources are on there too. I mean, that's our really our goal. And, you know, because right now, or when we started a year ago, parents were looking everywhere. And unfortunately, they go to a lot of bad places too, and get some really bad advice. And then they end up putting their kids back in public school, which is not our goal.
Right. Yeah. Well, I will say too, you know, I mean, with healthcare, we don't always get to pick the psychologist that's going to diagnose our kid. And we don't always get to pick our therapist. But I always say, being in mental health, and my husband in mental health, I always tell people, interview your therapist as much as possible. Because if they're coming from a really different worldview than you are, you could really hit against a brick wall, and it could take you back from where you're trying to get to.
Exactly. You can go backwards.
As much as possible, try to figure out who's in your team and who's on your court. But the last one is sharpen the saw. The last habit is sharpen the saw. And what does that mean? It means just continually be learning and growing. Like what you know today is going to be really different than what you know in 3 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the world will be different.
Revelation or, yeah, exactly. New research or, you know, what people have learned just because they've been in, you know, the midst of it for, you know, and they're sharing it through books or blogs or whatever. We live in that information age where you can sometimes get bombarded, but yet it's good to know that there's a lot of information out there.
There is. And I want to share an amazing story that happened with one of my friends had profoundly disabled grandchildren, twin grandsons, and they were both, it was a chromosomal disorder, and they thought they were vegetables. And sadly, one of the twins died a couple years ago, but the second twin is six now. And about a month ago, he had surgery on his eyes. So he can actually talk and type with a computer now. Well, all this time they thought there was nothing going on. He knows the days of the week. So his papa comes over on Thursdays and watches videos. Well, he didn't come last week, and he types in, "Where's papa? It's movie time." And then one of his aunties went to college, and he's like, "I need Shannon. We need snuggle time." And so all this time they thought nothing was going on. And 6 years ago, they didn't have this capability.
Exactly.
And now they have this little being in their lives that is interacting and talking and loving and knowing them. They had no idea a couple years ago this was ever going to happen. So I want to say, don't give up and just keep reinventing your vision, because, you know, we all go through different seasons. We grow up, we get over ourselves, and our kids do too. And, you know, and special needs kids go through developmental stages, just like every other kid. So if they're going through like a mouthy stage, it could just be that they're, you know, they're fifth graders. That's what all fifth graders do.
Exactly. Just because your child has special needs doesn't mean that they're going to not go through those. Those same stages and everything else. You know, it's interesting you talk about that story, because one of my adopted sisters had microcephaly, and really base of her brain was all that was there. And they really thought nothing was going on until they started teaching her how to communicate with her eyes. And then they realized she was there and she was, you know, understanding everything that was going on around her. We are just starting to understand, you know, those types of things. And so do not give up on your kids.
Right.
It's so important not to do that.
You know, and I think when we have kids, it's because we're dreaming big. I mean, really, we bring kids in the world because we believe in life, and we believe in something bigger than ourselves that will last longer than our lives. And so we have a lot invested in our kids. Yeah, and but we bring a lot of our own ideas about what should be. And a diagnosis is just your should isn't applying here. Mm-hmm. So it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of anything. It just, it might be the end of your should.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So, yeah. So you're
that's a good thing, because we don't want our kids maybe to turn out the way we had planned them to turn out. Right.
But I will tell you, having five kids, they don't anyway. So yeah. You know that as your kids become adults, it's just, they're going to be themselves one way or another.
Yes, exactly. We might as well come to grips with that when they're younger. It's a lot easier when they leave home.
It is.
We're still being that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really think vision for special needs kids or struggling learners is much the same as it is for all of us. Like, you just have to really get to know your kid. They're all different. They're all unique. And God has a special plan and purpose for all of them. But some of them might take longer to unfold. What is that? What does it look like? It might be really amazing. It might be limited, but we all get to learn from that. And as their parent, you get to learn some unique things too. So don't force yourself to get over recomputing time, though. You know, just give yourself time to regroup. And then once you do, go, wow, life is still out there and it's still available. And it's still good.
Yes, exactly. We have a comment from Amy. She said the picture books Stephen Covey for his Seven Habits are phenomenal for young kids.
Awesome.
And I think that brings up a point is, you know, we aren't the only one going through this process. Our kids are too. We have shared our dreams with them. And now we need to reorient how we change tracks.
Yes.
Lead them on that new vision and make them embrace it as something positive. I remember when I read a book about dyslexia, The Gift of Dyslexia. I read it to my son, and it talks about how dyslexia is a superpower. And all of a sudden he's like, this is really cool. And to see him embrace that diagnosis instead of saying, well, this is what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
This is what's right with you.
Wow. Yeah.
And it just made a huge difference. He all of a sudden realized that this was something phenomenal that he'd been given. And and I think we need to show our children that in anything that they're struggling with, that there is a flip side to it. Somehow it's going to affect you very positively. And sometimes it takes a long time to do that.
Yes.
But like you said, when we start changing our vision, that's when we start seeing it, though.
Right.
Until we do that, we're not going to see it.
Right. There's a great book. I mentioned this in every podcast I ever talk on, called Grit by Angela Duckworth. And there's some super, like you were saying, superpowers that don't have to do with academic achievement, but she talks about just like not giving up. And we're really losing that in our society, where there's a lot of ease and comfort. Is those kids who don't give up and are hard workers and have a work ethic, they're bringing to the table a whole skill set, regardless of their ability to read, that a lot of kids don't bring to the table. So don't overlook those soft skills or those power skills that, you know, you can instill with your kids, no matter what their abilities or disabilities, for the most part, that are really, you know, worth a lot in this day's economy. They really are.
They are. And they're so hard to find employers.
I know. If your kid will go to work without Facebook on all the time, they're they're ahead of the game. Anyway, I just, there's a lot of skills we can teach our kids that aren't in books. And it's just recomputing. That's the thing. So you have to, there's a military saying that says adapt, oh, now I forget it, of course. But it's basically adapt and overcome. And so basically, I think that's what a lot of us have to do as we're really thinking about our vision, is how do we really adapt to the situation that we're in, and how do we overcome whatever things are thrown in our path? So don't forget to do that.
It's not about setting that track when your child is, you know, in preschool and sticking to it. I have one talk I give on overcoming doubt and, you know, just all the curveballs God has thrown our family through this process of homeschooling. And somebody came up to me after the last time I gave it, and they said, so you mean even if I do everything right, it's not going to work out that way? I was like,
Well, no.
That's the point of the talk.
Well, you know, I totally agree with you. I think the longer we live, the more we realize that all those crazy things that happen, that's just like our day-to-day world. Yeah, and it's just, you just got to cope with it. Yeah, everybody does. So, Exactly. How do we teach our kids how to do it? That's really the thing. And that's the thing all parents are trying to figure out, isn't it? I think when we homeschool, we've decided not to outsource education. We've decided to intentionally be the person overseeing that. And I do think blended learning and some kind of outsourcing is really the homeschooler's secret weapon, because I think as more and more homeschoolers are working while they homeschool, it's getting more complicated. Time. There's just not enough time in the day. But we've really decided to be intentional about how we raise our kids. And so we need to make sure we're resourcing ourselves. I probably said that way too many times in this last hour, but really, I do think we just have to keep pulling in resources. And if this resource doesn't work, find another one. There's always more.
It isn't the end of the road if you have to switch and do something else. It's just you've learned something and you learn what works and what doesn't. And so move on. And, you know, I think as I'm listening to you, you know, what your children are watching you as you adapt to these things. That's going to teach them how to adapt in life also, because they're watching you and learning from how you handle that. And that, what a great gift that our kids have when we can change based on what we know is important and what we know can just
So I think you have reminded me of something and now I'm totally forgetting what it is, but
I'm gonna comment that hopefully you can figure that out. Amy, it also said my son, who is high functioning, has an incredible problem solver and builds all the time. It's amazing to watch him, and taking the time to watch our children and what they do good at. An incredible view onto where they are gifted. And we don't think about, you know, what they're doing during their playtime. But that's probably where you get the best peeks. You're going to do when they're older. It's the things that they just delve into and enjoy doing. And don't all, we all want a career eventually where we enjoy it all the time, not something that we've studied hard at. And, you know, this is, well, this makes good money, so this is what I'm going to do.
John Holt used to say that, that play is a child's work. I mean, I've probably read all of John Holt's books way back in the day when the, when those were the only homeschooling books really available to read. And now no one even hardly remembers who he was. So that's just in the last couple decades. That's just in the world of homeschooling. Now there's dozens of books on homeschooling. I thought this was kind of funny. Somebody said, I was looking up seven habits today, and somebody wrote a blog article and said, I never remember the seven habits, but what I do remember are these two things. One, do something. And I thought, you know, when all else fails, do something. And it can be simple. If school is not working out and you've had it, my first daughter was very fast learner at reading. She learned to read at five, but she went from like kind of not reading to reading everything. So, I mean, she could, you could throw any book at her and she could read it and understand it and talk about it. And my second daughter, not so much. And we went through a lot of time of crying, both of us, almost every day, because it just felt like, what am I not doing here? Like, this was so easy here, and it's such a struggle here. And I do think, you know, we should have done something, but it should have been a different something. We should have gone for a walk. We should have done painting. We should have done more poetry memorization, because that she really got a hold of, you know? And so I do think what you're saying is, like, what do your kids do for fun, and capitalize on that. If you're really struggling, you don't have to keep struggling, because again, you as a homeschooler, you're creating this really unique educational environment for your kids. So it can be really unique, and you can do whatever you need to do for them and for you. So if your kid's crying every day, or you're crying every day, or you're both crying every day, do something. But maybe do something else.
Don't keep pushing it. It means it's not working.
It's not working. And the other thing he said was just plan, just plan. And that really, in my opinion, is really like what a vision is. It's you're hoping and you're planning for something. You're planning for a payoff. And, you know, if we have kids, we believe in life. We believe in hope. We believe in the future, even after we're gone. And so we're planning for that, even when we're not here, whether we know it or not. And I do think we need to really be intentional about planning for our kids, but be willing to not be married to the plan. The plan doesn't have to define us, and the curriculum doesn't either. And that's the other thing I want to just mention too. There's so many really great resources as far as curriculum goes now, all about spelling, all about reading, the Barton program, Orton Gillingham. There's some really, Amy teaches some great math games classes online even. And also if your kids aren't communicating very well verbally, learn ASL. I mean, that was really a big deal a couple years ago with babies, teaching them baby sign. We actually went through a time period where our family learned sign language and my older daughter became fluent because it was a really vibrant deaf community in our area. But we forget that everybody knows basic sign. Every human does. Yeah. We all know how to like communicate by actions. And we forget sometimes those simple things. When we were all learning sign, we were just having a blast. It was so fun and kind of quirky. And we would do these little things in church together, you know, that was kind of like our little code. But kids love that kind of stuff. And it wasn't really like academic necessarily, but it was really community building and something we all did together. So, you know, don't forget doing those kind of fun things too, because fun builds relationships. And I think some of us that are kind of more type A or really goal-directed people, like maybe I might be a little bit sort of, but maybe not. I don't know. I have my days. I don't know. I can't decide. But when we have fun with our kids, we really build relationships, and your kids need to know what fun is too. And Diana Waring, I heard her years and years ago in New Mexico. She talked about the joy of teaching your kids humor. I think sometimes with our kids, we forget that even if they're utterly abled, they can still laugh, and laugh is a universal language. And so my kids and I spend a lot of time listening to comedians, which I think I should make a course on comedy really actually, but they're really into Studio C, which I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's this crazy comedy troupe in Utah, and they're good, clean fun. And some of it is really brilliant, and some of it is absolutely horrible, but we have a great time. And, you know, the Three Stooges and Tim Hawkins, there's some really good, clean comedians, and humor and laughter is universal language. Yes. And if our kids are autistic, they might not understand humor because there's nuances, but exposing them to those things really helps them. Maybe it helps their brain grow and develop. So don't, even if your kids don't get it, you can still do it and teach them through that too.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of laughing.
My husband makes sure it happens in our house.
Awesome.
Because I'm that type A person, and he has been the fun. They were running around our house before we started shooting each other with Nerf guns.
So, oh, awesome.
Yes. And then we were talking about the lizard that got killed by our cats earlier today. It was more gross than fun, but anyways. But we have one more comment. Jace Clark said, my son taught himself ASL by watching videos. He signed words when we were working on spelling, and it helps him to remember spelling. And that it does. It makes learning multisensory. And we even had someone on that we interviewed that talked about adding Spanish into your therapy because your kids think it's more fun when you tell them to do something in Spanish.
And I love it. Yeah.
There are so many ways to think outside to make, you know, whatever your child finds fun, interesting, you know, laughable, and turn into education.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about tactile, we always had a lot of Legos and clay kind of products around. You can buy that plasticine clay that you can mold and it doesn't dry out. Yeah. And if you have kids who are ADD or need to touch something, ADD kids need to move to think. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a revelation to me. Like, I have this one kid and he's in Calc 4, which also blows me away. But if he's not moving, his brain kind of shuts down. So mm-hmm. if you need to get a bouncy ball for your kid or a plasticine,
right,
just get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, our time is unfortunately up, and we could probably talk for hours. But this has been so much fun. I just thank you so much, Lisa. And I just want people to know that have been watching us that you can, if you were checking in later, your website is truenorthhomeschoolacademy.com.
Yep.
And you offer classes, online classes. You offer help for struggling learners. You help with transcripts and courses and a whole slew of things. So if you're looking for some practical, functional help, definitely check out what Lisa has to offer.
Yes. And we do have a test. It's a little unique in that the test, you can do it at home. It's six classes that you can get, or six subject areas you can get tested in. And the test remembers what your kid scored last time. So if you take the test with us over the years, you'll get this beautiful graph. And it's a great tool to just go, wow, we need to switch curriculum, or maybe we needed to get tested for learning disabilities. It's a really great assessment tool, and it's very inexpensive.
Right. Yes, and we have on our website a discount for that.
And that is for SPED people. So, and we're just going to keep that discount available to you guys. So,
Thank you so much. Yes, our parents are very excited about that tool, because it's a wonderful thing to be able to put in an IEP every year as a baseline.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Instead of trying to remember what didn't I put in there?
Right.
What did I put in there? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Peggy, it's been great to talk with you. Thanks.
It's been wonderful having you, Lisa, and I'm just getting to know you too. I mean, we talk a lot on Facebook, but it's nice to talk in person. And it's just encouragement for all of you that talk to people on Facebook, you know.
Yes.
Even if you just message them with a video. It's it makes a whole difference with your relationships with people.
It does.
See their face and talk.
Yeah. God bless you. And you know, you have a great stuff available, and we'll continue to send people your way as much as we can.
Thank you. Yes. And so for our audience, you can check out our resources at spedhomeschool.com. And we want to thank the Learning Disabilities Foundation of America for partially funding this broadcast, and for viewers like you who donate on our website on our donor button. And next week, talking about tears, our guest is Dr. Anne Maria DeMars, and our subject is Surviving Preteen Math Without Tears, Yours and Theirs. That should be lots of fun.
That's great.
So until next time, we keep the conversation going on the SPED Homeschool Support Group, and you can join us there to just talk about whatever you want to talk about that's related to special education homeschooling. Otherwise, check out all of our other resources and groups on Facebook as well. So thank you, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks.